Hi, this is Shaylin Hudson. I make candles for Scene Creations, and the price is anywhere from $3 to $8. If you'd like to contact me about purchasing any, you could call me at 907-401-1095.
You have a Facebook page? No? Hello and welcome to Horror After Hours, coming to you from the Naughty Guy Studio. I'm your host, the Naughty Guy, Adam J. Joining me tonight is Bruce from Swatting Flies and Telling Lies.
Hello, hello.
Since we are approaching the Valentine season, it's time to do an episode on a very special movie from 1981. This is My Bloody Valentine. This movie was originally titled The Secret, and later changed to My Bloody Valentine to play on the holiday slasher movies that were on the rise at the time.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
This was something that I kind of, found out as I was digging up the info on it.
Yeah.
So it had a budget of $2.3 million, brought in $5.7 million at the box office.
That's pretty good if you think about 1981 numbers.
Yeah. Now, when Paramount released it in the U.S., it only brought in like $3.4 million.
Yeah.
And they considered it a flop.
Yeah.
Because they had this monster hit with Friday the 13th.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard. Like, when you measure something up against, which becomes iconic, but at the time was just this huge blockbuster that nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
A lot's going to seem like a failure, man.
Yep, exactly. Now, you look at what My Bloody Valentine actually did bring in. That's $5.7 million. That's pretty respectable, especially for, like you said, at the time.
Yeah. It's just, it's crazy when you, because you gotta look at it in the scope that from in 1981, those are really big numbers, especially for a horror movie, especially in 1981 when people thought it was getting oversaturated in 1981, which it clearly wasn't. I would say somewhere after 1984, after Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, still, that's good money right there.
Hell yeah. And can you imagine what this movie had been like had they kept the movie, or kept the name, The Secret?
Yeah, it probably wouldn't have done good.
No, I wouldn't have watched it.
Yeah, one thing I heard about this movie, too, and it was Eli Roth was doing a podcast with Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
He was... Okay, so me and you... I don't want to say we watched two different movies off from the go, but, like, if you listen to Eli Roth, he thinks there's two different movies. You watched the unrated last night, right?
Yes, I did.
And I watched the rated on Amazon Prime.
Holy cow, they really butchered that one.
And, so Eli Roth said that this movie never stood a chance because it kept getting stuff taken out of it. And he was like, if you watch that movie, if you watched it in the 80s like I did, you need to go back to it. You need to watch what the director wanted to make. Like, is it a little bit more gory? Yes, but it's a much better movie overall. And I knew that last night. I just didn't want to say anything because I wanted to watch the version everybody had to watch at first in 81.
Yeah, and I remember that one pretty vividly. I grew up watching this movie, and, like I said, this was introduced to me by my grandma Stretch. Back when I was, just a young teen, I think. But
so you didn't watch it till the 90s then?
Maybe it was before that then.
Because it would have been, if you're a young teen, it would have been 1990, 91.
No, I definitely saw it in the 80s, so I was younger than that.
I don't remember when I watched this, or if I even watched it until last night, to be perfectly honest.
Now, like I said, I'm very familiar with the chopped up version. And it's a good movie. Mm-hmm. However, there is so much missing out of there.
Yeah.
And realistically, I think it's only like maybe 4 minutes cut out of it in total.
It makes a big difference in a horror movie, though.
Yeah, because I'm actually going to get into that here in a little bit.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Start it, man.
Cool. Well, the plot is, inside a mine shaft, a female miner takes off her gear in front of another miner. The woman performs a striptease. It's just typical 80s.
Yeah, run in the mill.
Yeah.
But did she have a heart?
Yeah, she had a heart-shaped tattoo, and that seemed to be what drove the killer.
Yeah, because that seemed to like immediately trigger the killer.
So he pushed her into a pickaxe.
Yeah.
Mayor Henniger of Valentine Bluffs, aptly named, is a Canadian mining town, reinstates the traditional Valentine's Day dance, which has been suspended for 20 years. The dance is stopped after an accident in which two supervisors left several miners in the mines to attend the dance. Because they forgot to check the methane gas levels, there was an explosion that happened to the miners. Harry Warden, the only survivor, resorted to cannibalism to survive and went insane. The next year, he murdered the two supervisors who left him there and vowed further attacks if the Valentine's Day dance ever occurred again. Warden was placed into an asylum and the accident was forgotten, so the dance resumed. A group of young residents are excited about the dance. And we don't need to get into their names.
No, we don't. Now, they're obviously in their 20s, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mayor Henniger and the town's police chief receive an anonymous box of Valentine chocolates containing a human heart.
Oof.
With a note warning that murders will begin if the dance proceeds. That evening, Mabel is murdered by the mining geared killer at the laundromat. Her heart is removed.
I got a question.
Yeah, go for it.
The one I watched, they left the death, the murder, up to my interpretation.
Yeah.
Is that in yours too?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
But in the unrated version, they actually show her body, her face.
Okay. Because you only kind of see her, but it's when they discover her. Mm-hmm. And it's briefly.
Yeah, no, there's a lot more to it.
Oh, okay.
The police chief, you know, tells everybody, just anybody asks, she died of a heart attack. That's all.
Yeah.
He contacts the mental institution where Harry Warden was incarcerated, but they have no record of him. Henniger and Newby cancel the dance, but the town's young people decide to hold their own party at the mine. A bartender, whose name is Happy, warns them against this, but is killed by the miner. At the party, the miner brutally kills several of them.
Was he the one who kept opening the door on his trick?
Yeah, that was Happy.
Okay.
And I'll actually get into that here shortly. You know, they make the party at the, what was that, the Union Hall or something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember one guy gets his face shoved into the boiling pot of hot dogs.
I'm going to go off on that really quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I've seen a lot of fucking disgusting things in horror movies. No more disgusting than fucking a motherfucker's boiling hot dogs to eat on buns. I immediately wanted everybody in the scene fucking killed by this killer. I wanted somebody fucking drowned in this fucking thing, which happened. And then I wanted the killer to reboil that with hot dogs in there and fucking throw it on somebody's fucking face. I was fucking disgusted. End rant.
Oh, man. So another funny part to that was the girls were in there and they're scooping up the hot dogs. And she pulls out this heart and doesn't realize what the hell she's holding. It was a cooked human heart.
It was crazy to see that.
Yeah, I know. The guy opens the fridge to grab a six-pack of beer, and he's talking to the girls.
Well, they distract him. He turns around.
There's a fucking body right
there's
there.
There's a body under all this shit, which he would have saw if the girls weren't freaking out about a boiled fucking heart.
Which they just thought it was a piece of roast.
Yeah, because that's what it looked like.
Exactly.
So I think the killer kind of thought people were going to be in there sooner, which I liked that part of that movie.
Now, at the same time, you know, the guy who was grabbing the beer out of the fridge, mm-hmm. he goes back to his girlfriend who was in the locker room, mm-hmm. who just moments before was killed by the killer. He picked her up and shoved her, hit the back of her head into the fucking shower spout.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That was just, that was fucking crazy.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Everybody's in the mine, of course. You know, they go down there. They said, we're just going to go down there. We'll bring the girls right back up. And
always a bad idea.
Always.
Just for a fucking point of reference. When I got to high school, and then people were like my freshman year, like, hey, let's go down to
Pioneer Park.
Pioneer Park. It's like, cool, man. I said, if any of you fucking idiots want to go sit on fucking graves, go fucking do that on your own. I'm going to walk on the fucking road back, man. I'm going to walk in the middle of the fucking road. I ain't fucking playing.
Yeah.
It's just, I felt like fucking Randy from Scream. It's a very simple formula. Anyways, carry on.
Oh, man. Well, trying to find their way out, the party are attacked by the miner. The miner chases them all through the entire mine, which...
Yep.
You see these gruesome kill scenes, and it's just... I don't know.
What it felt like to me was like all the... all the 80 tropes of horror movies came out in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a Scooby-Doo montage, you know? Or they're just running and crisscross, you don't know how.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, and then I got some thoughts on this particular part, too. So when you're done with the plot, I'll jump okay. in.
Well, finding their way out, Axel and Patty are killed by the miner. The miner chases TJ and Sarah, who are the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And a fight ensues.
Yep.
The miner is revealed to be Axel, who faked his demise just minutes earlier.
Yeah.
And a flashback shows that Axel's father was one of the supervisors. And as a child, Axel witnessed Harry Warden murder his father, which severely traumatized him.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah hits Axel with a rock. And then, as the fight continues, the tunnel collapse.
Yeah. They take off.
Yep. The collapse traps Axel, and his arm is pinned between the rocks.
Yeah, they start putting, like, we found a hand, and you see it moving.
And when I first looked at it, it looked like a lady's hand.
Yeah.
And then they cut back to it, and it's a man's hand.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know, I thought that part was weird.
Yeah.
They watch as Axel frees himself from the debris by cutting off his trapped arm. He runs deeper into the mine, shouting threats to murder everyone in town and mumbling about Sarah being his bloody Valentine.
I stuck my hands up. Oh, he said the name of the movie.
Very Peter Griffin thing to do.
Yes, it is.
The film ends with a maniacal laugh being heard.
Yep.
As a ballad for Harry Warden plays over the film's credits.
Yeah. So a couple thoughts on the movie, obviously. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure at the beginning if the heart triggered him or not on the booby. And then you see it at the very end. It's like, okay, duh. His dad gets murdered on Valentine's Day.
Yep. And the killer actually cut out his father's heart in front of him.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then he sees that heart. I was like, okay, cool. I like that. That's a good tie-in. You know, like, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that coming. So I was like, happy. Second, personally, I didn't like the fucking mind mask, but I get it.
Yeah.
It's not, not everything is going to be a hockey mask, and not everything is going to be Michael Myers. So I had to let that go.
Yeah. But you see somebody coming at you wearing a miner's outfit, carrying a pickaxe.
Yeah.
It's Gonna raise some red flags right there.
But, and I get it too, he's gonna blend in a mining. You walk around with Michael Myers, he's gonna be hunched over, he's not gonna be able to do much. Okay, I suspend my disbelief. One of the crazy things about it was just, I didn't pick up on it fast enough that it was set in Canada, and I thought it was supposed to be set in America, and I said, fucking A, they clearly just went to Canada and filmed this shit and used Canadian actors and said it was fucking American. Then later on the movie is like, oh, I missed that. Okay, they're in Canada. Never mind. I realized saying this that someone has a heavy Canadian accent, knowing I have a heavy Canadian accent. But it was just like, I almost couldn't get past that part.
And you really pick up on it whenever they say, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Then there was a character, I don't remember his name, bigger dude, glasses, fucking walrus porn stash.
That was Hollis.
and seemed like a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out to be the killer and the main character. When they fight over the girl, this motherfucker drops a hammer on both of them.
That was fucking awesome.
And I was like, okay, now I like him. He's a big, lovable guy. He has a smoking hot girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
He just wants his friends to be happy and chill. And when they're not happy and chill, this guy's like, fine.
Grabs them both and he's fucking strangling them both with one arm each.
And he fucking manhandles both of them. He's holding one while he fucking shoves the other down. And I was just like, fair enough, man.
Kind of made him a badass.
Now, you said this came out after Friday the 13th, right?
Yes.
Okay. So here's my issue with that. Is the bartender was super crazy and a fucking asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I made a mental note of this to ask you this. And then once you went through and said that it was considered a disappointment because of Friday the 13th, that bartender was clearly modeled after the fucking old crazy asshole in...
Crazy Ralph.
Yeah, in Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Which this guy ends up like... After seeing his death, I was like, don't go back a third time, motherfucker. You're just, what the fuck, dude? Go away and fucking move along. But he had this crazy fucking, like, scare. Like, you open up the door, and you look, and, like, the pickaxe comes out.
Yep.
And it looks like the killer. And he opens up again, and it comes out again, and he fucking laughs. Like, this fucking, it's like, this asshole's going to get fucking killed by it.
He keeps fucking doing it. He keeps opening the door and fucking laughing really hard like it's the first thing he's ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. And then he walks away. I'm like, okay. I was like, but he's going to get killed by that, right? And then I'm talking to myself. And then he goes back, and I said, you dumb motherfucker, man.
He opens the door again, and there's Harry Warden.
Yeah.
Fucking swings the pickaxe right under the chin.
Dead as fuck. So, but that guy was clearly modeled after the crazy asshole old guy in Friday the 13th. Now to go to the killings. I know I'm kind of not chronological here, but these are just the main things that stuck out with me.
Mm-hmm.
The killings, when they started in the mineshaft at the end, I was so fucking irritated. Not with the killings. I actually thought they looked pretty cool. I like going back and rewatching. Like, if the kills are good, then I honestly don't. The plot line doesn't need to be super great for me.
Because mm-hmm.
I want to see what they did with their special effects budget. Now, you get to see it here, and it's A+ in my mind, Adam.
This was a great movie.
I think the kills were great.
Yes.
I think the kills were great. I'll get into that when I give it the chainsaw review. But what I liked about it was knowing the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Still a lot of money back then, but still not a lot of money. So that means that these motherfuckers were busting their... Not that people don't, but I mean, like, they went the extra mile. So when you kind of see the kill or you see the after effects, it's like, that's pretty fucking cool.
Exactly.
So I'm going to give the special effects. I know we're not grading yet, but I'm giving the special effects a fucking A. Like, I just really appreciated that. And then, especially in the mine, it's fucking kind of hard to shoot. It gave me a claustrophobic feeling, so that's going to go into my grade later on, too. But This part made me laugh, and I feel kind of bad about it, but I was being annoyed like a motherfucker, and when it happened, I fucking laughed. So, the kills happen, the guy dies. I think the big man has the nail in the head.
Yep, he took two of them.
The motherfucker's still walking. His girlfriend's freaking out. I get it, man. I would freak the fuck out, too. But her fucking constant screaming and demanding we're going to take him, and the girl says, we're leaving, and the guy says, we're leaving, and she just is drawing fucking attention to your click. Scream, 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 scream. I said, fucking slap this bitch, man. God damn it. Fucking leave her. Fucking leave her. Fucking leave her. I was like this, fucking leave her. Fucking leave her. Fucking leave her. Fucking leave her. And I'm alone, and I'm just like, looking back, I'm like, oh, I was really getting into this movie, which is all you want.
Exactly.
This is all you want.
This movie really can drag you in.
And I was fucking furious green, fucking Hulk furious green, and I was like, fucking leave her! And then the best friend just fucking smacks the fuck out of her. And I said, I was like, yes! And I looked around and I was alone and I was like, well, fuck you guys, man. Sat back down and was like, and that kind of snapped her out of it, but she still didn't fucking do anything. Brought her out of it, and we know what happens.
Yep.
So that go ahead, man.
So the shooting began on this movie back in September 1980, taking place around the Princess Colliery Mine in Sydney Mines, Nova Scotia.
On the East Coast, huh?
Yeah, which had closed in 1975. Filming completed in November of 1980.
2 months, huh?
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Two mines were considered for the setting, the other in Glace Bay, Nova Scotia. The production company decided on the Sydney mines location due to the exterior being very dreary, cold, and dusty. And there were no other buildings around it. So it looked like, it really looked like it was out in the middle of nowhere.
It did.
The director said, since making the movie, the most difficult element of My Bloody Valentine was filming in the mines.
Yeah.
Located 2,700 feet underground.
Oof.
Filming in the mine was a lengthy process, as due to the limited space in the elevators, it would take an hour to transport the cast and the crew just to the location.
Just imagine the equipment.
Yeah. Everything was so much bigger back then.
You know what's crazy? I thought... Wow, that makes it even... Huh. It actually makes the chainsaws I give. I'm going to give it more chainsaws just hearing that.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a studio.
No, this was all done in a real mine.
Huh. Oh, carry on.
Due to the methane levels underground, lighting had to be carefully planned as the number of bulbs that could be safely utilized was very limited. Prior to the production's arrival to the mine, the owners cleaned up the location significantly, leaving it described as a clean and colorful Disneyland-like set. This resulted in the production team spending an estimated $30,000 to paint portions of the mine to achieve a darker atmosphere.
Make it look like it's occupied.
Yeah.
Constant. Okay.
As it appeared in its original state.
Nice. That's crazy.
Yeah. Producer Dunning referred to the shoot as horrendous because of all that. Yeah, everything that I just went through. The crew kept the identity of the killer a secret to the cast members until the very end of production. When the final scene was shot, in order to assure the actors played their parts realistically, which I thought was fucking awesome. Nobody knew about that until the very end.
I like that. I got thoughts on that when you're done.
Okay, so... You just touched on this one, and this was actually one of my favorite kills. This was one of the most gruesome kill scenes is when Happy the bartender sets up a mannequin in a doorway to look like Harry Warden with a pickaxe that swings up when the door opens.
Which was actually quite funny.
Yeah.
The guy is just a prick, man.
He repeatedly opens the door while laughing maniacally. He resets his contraption and walks away, but turns right back around to open the door again, which... For no reason. It was like, I gotta see it one more time kind of a thing. And he turns around, he opens the door again. But this time, the killer is waiting for him and really swings the pickaxe up under Happy's chin, killing him instantly. In the uncut, unrated version, you see a lot more of this kill than the original release. The unrated version shows the pickaxe sticking out of Happy's eye. The original release didn't really show anything of these kills.
Okay. Well, you just answered the question for me then. Oh, go ahead.
In 1980, this movie was heavily edited to go from an X to an R rating by the MPAA, which is the Motion Picture Association of America. They were forced to cut most of the violence and gore from this movie in its original release.
Is that just because of how gruesome Friday the 13th was?
And they received a lot of backlash because of that.
Oh, okay.
So they were really strict with how they were going to pass an R-rated movie.
Okay.
So for My Bloody Valentine, they had to cut out almost all blood, had to cut out almost all violence. So the version that you watched
was very watered down.
Yeah, extremely watered.
Now, like I said, I knew that going in about 5-6 years ago. Maybe not even that long. But like I said, Eli Roth, a fucking wealth of just knowledge in general, was going off on this and how you people need to watch the unrated version. And I was like, okay, then once you said, hey man, the one I downloaded was the unrated, I was like, okay, you watch it, I'm going to watch this, because I knew there were going to be contrast.
Oh yeah. And I do have the Blu-ray on the way.
Nice.
Same with Valentine.
Shit, I forgot my hard drive. But anyway, go ahead.
Actually, I think I'm just getting down to that this was an entirely very fun movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not seen the 1981 unrated movie, I suggest checking it out. If you have seen it, watch it again. I love this one, and hopefully by now, everyone is familiar with my movie rating system on my podcast. 5 chainsaws for the best, 0 chainsaws for the worst.
Have you given anything less than 4?
Yeah, there was, I don't remember what it was. There was a 3 chainsaw movie.
Was there?
Yeah. I rate My Bloody Valentine 1981 at a solid 5 chainsaws out of 5. So I have always loved this movie. I still watch it at least once a year.
Yeah. I am going with 3.5 chainsaws. I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing up a whole fucking chainsaw. One, I didn't know that they were fucking in a mineshaft.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the version I watched, I knew going in was going to be a little bit less than... I think what keeps it from going up to 5 for me is... now, I know people like me and you, we're not doing original fucking a podcast on horror movies. When we fucking shoot the shit, we're not the first to chop it up in my podcast. But we bring our own unique shit to it. I didn't like that the old man was pretty much copy-pasted from. And I honestly didn't know, but I assumed that this was after. And then when I looked up that it said 1981, I was like, okay, 1980 was that. And I was like, okay, I don't like that. But everything else I could forgive. Like I said, I don't need an intricate... If there's a fucking intricate fucking storyline for me... Then we're fucking talking Halloween. We're talking fucking Scream.
Valentine.
And it's just like, damn. Like, those are like the best of the best. Mm-hmm. So if you got a great storyline, you're going to end up with those. Now, if you don't, you're going to... I enjoyed this movie. And like I said, just with me, like, oh, fucking slapper, slapper, slapper. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then the whole... My Bloody Valentine. I seriously was like, he said the name of the movie in the movie. So, I'm going 3.5 chainsaws.
Very cool.
Enjoyable movie. I highly recommend it. Even if you're just going to watch it one time, like I'm probably going to. Maybe I'll watch the fucking uncut version, but I want this one to kind of settle for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to fucking overlap it and be like, that one's clearly better. I just want that one to stew for a while, and then I'll come back and watch the uncut version.
That's awesome. That's an excellent rating.
What, 2010, they remade this. Did you watch it?
I did, and I didn't really care for it.
Okay, I'm not going to waste my time then.
And this was done with Jensen Ackles from Supernatural.
Oh, so he was in it.
Mm-hmm.
He was also in the remake of Friday the 13th.
That was actually Jared Padalecki.
Was it?
Yeah. The other guy from Supernatural.
Oh, all you white boys look alike to me, man.
Oh, shit.
So, another... three and a half chainsaws is pretty good, right?
Yes, it is.
It gave me claustrophobia.
Yeah, and that was their aim when they started putting the movie
together. And I was just like, damn, that's a good fucking studio fucking reboot. Like, I thought I knew they were on site for some of them, but I didn't know that this was actually fucking Mineshaft. So yeah. That brings it up a whole chainsaw for me, man.
That was very well done. Cool. Especially with the...
Maybe uncomfortable.
Budget. Yeah. It is a really unsettling atmosphere.
That alone goes a long ways with me. Mm-hmm. It just does. If you give me that feeling, if I'm in a horror movie and you make me uncomfortable either by the setting or by the story or by the fucking acting, sometimes you don't get all three. Sometimes you just get one and that's enough, man.
Yeah.
And that was like...
Ugh. Yeah, no shit, man. Now, were there any kills in the movie that stuck out for you?
Oh, the first one. Just because it grabbed me and I was like, the heart has to have something to do with it.
Yeah.
And that clearly triggered him. And then you that fucking boomerang comes back at the end of the movie and you're like, ah, I liked it.
Yeah, and now I understand. Yeah.
I felt like Mikey.
Yeah.
Bruce likes it.
So we touched briefly on the death of Mabel.
Yeah.
Now, I can't quite remember right now, but in the cut version, do they show a body in there?
Yes, but not how you think. The curtains kind of literally close when he pulls her through, and then it goes to another scene. The sheriff, the boyfriend. I immediately knew where Mabel was because mm-hmm. it was the one dryer on.
Yep.
And that's another thing that he doesn't know when this body's going to be found. She was clearly in there for a while because her skin looked baked. Mm-hmm. But you only kind of see it. You only kind of see it.
Oh, really?
You don't see it probably like... It's just like... Remember on Seven when fucking he closes his eyes and sees his wife and then he shoots her? Mm-hmm. Shoots him? It's kind of like, did I just see that?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did I just see... It's like, damn, did I just see that? And then they lift it up and... That's when he's like, she didn't get killed. She died of a heart attack. And you kind of see that. It looks like her skin got baked in there.
Okay. So in the unrated version, you see a lot more of that.
Of the kill?
They still cut away when he grabs her.
You see
her.
The after?
He grabs her and then they cut.
Yeah.
But when the sheriff actually finds her, the dryer pops open and she falls out.
Oh, okay.
And you see the white eyes, the cooked skin,
yeah.
Everything. You see all the gory details.
Yeah, and then you could they do an angle where you could see that the heart was ripped out, too.
Yeah.
So then, but by then, you already know that that's his trademark, mm-hmm. you know? Crazy.
Yeah. It's almost astonishing how much of this movie was cut.
Yeah. It's a lot, is what it sounds like. And like I said, I knew that going in. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was totally okay when you're like, oh, yeah, go on here. It plays, and it's the uncut version. I immediately was like, nope, go to this one.
Yeah, well, that's cool, man. It gave us two different takes on it.
Yep. Yeah, fun.
Yeah, no, it was excellent movie, excellent review.
Yeah.
So now I want to go ahead and remind all of our listeners of an open invitation to be on Horror After Hours or on Swatting Flies and Telling Lies. Just contact either one of us to set it up.
You could contact us through the Anchor app.
Yeah, you can do that too.
You could actually call Adam's podcast and leave him... Matter of fact, if you guys call, we'll send you guys something. Probably middle finger, but we'll still send you something.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
I want to give a big shout-out to all of my friends and loyal listeners from all over Alaska to Washington and Arizona and wherever you may be.
What up, Terrence? Love you, man.
We miss you, bro.
Always miss you.
And I thank you all. Keep listening. Wherever you are, stay safe out there. I am the Naughty Guy, Adam J., and this is Horror After Hours, signing off. Good night, everyone. Hello, this is the Naughty Guy, Adam J. Keep listening to Horror After Hours with the Naughty Guy. as my friends and I, we discuss some of our favorite movies and some of our favorite novels. Bear Crossing Bed and Breakfast, we have a beautiful view which overlooks downtown Ketchikan. You can find us on the Airbnb app or on Facebook. You can contact us through either of these apps for any information. Skylar's Table offers cafeteria-style dining, fresh soups and salads, and paninis. And all of his meats are roasted fresh daily. If you're looking for great food, great prices, and even better company, come to Skylar's Table, a place for visitors. Podcast Swatting Flies, Telling Lies. If you like a fun, crazy podcast with loads of information that you didn't know you need, give this one a listen. Bruce's show is always a lot of fun. You never know what he's going to say next, and I'm always tuning in to find out. Next, I got Lazy Mountain Brewing Company, located in Palmer, Alaska, owned by Neil and Sarah Gottschall. They're providing quality craft beers with crisp, clean flavor. Look for Lazy Mountain Brewing Company on Facebook. You will also find their beers all around the Anchorage area. They're just good, honest beers. That's, again, Lazy Mountain Brewing Company. Also look for my friend Danny's podcast. That's Hinterlands Media, where he discusses current topics and conspiracies. And also look for his new podcast called Hinterlands Storytime. This should be a lot of fun. This is where he discusses his favorite fantasy, sci-fi novels, movies, and games. This really should be a lot of fun. Danny's a lot of fun, so give both his shows a listen. I know I will. And finally, The Naughty Guy. I finally have a Facebook page. Check it out. Give me a like and a follow to see all of my latest knotwork. You can find my knotwork in a few of the local stores around Ketchikan. You look for Maiden Voyage, Scanlon Gallery, and also the Alaska Outpost. Tell them The Naughty Guy sent you. Thanks a lot, folks. Keep listening.